Supposed to be in the recording studio Thursday week, and recording that song as well as a few other new songs, but I don't know if that's going to make it, if it's going to happen or not. We'll have to see. I probably shouldn't be screaming at y'all too much. My daughter, I stand at lunch, my daughter, as I preach, sometimes my daughter said, "Dad, why are you screaming in the middle?" I'm good. "Why are you screaming in the middle of it?" Baby, that's not screaming. I went to a shouting Baptist church as a young man, and I know what shouting sounds like. That what I do is not really shouting, you know. And I've never even run a lap, but one fellow said, "Why was the preacher so angry?" That's called intensity. I'm not angry. I'm pretty angry at the devil. I'm angry at my own sin, but no, I'm not angry. I'm really happy in the Lord. Aren't y'all?
Amen.
I'm real happy in the Lord. I'm glad to be saved tonight, glad to be in church. And this is a little old-fashioned, 7 o'clock. When I was a boy, 7:30. We go to church at 7:30. So many churches are just different times anymore. And so often, you know, I get all confused on these different time zones. I flew out to Iowa, and Sunday afternoon I was at somebody's house that I'd never been to before, never been to that church before. And I ate with that family, and they said, "Have a seat in that recliner. Recline back, Brother Fox. Brother Fox, take a nap." I did take a nap for a few minutes. Woke up in a living room that I'm like, "Oh my, where am I? What time is it?" I said, "In the sun." I said, "I forgot to go preach." No, it was Sunday afternoon. It finally came back to my mind. And all these different times of services. Got to a church in South Carolina, 9 a.m. Sunday school, 10 a.m. morning service, 5 p.m. evening service. They're going to be ahead of everybody in America, you know. And I like all the different times. Last Sunday, where I was, they had dinner on the grounds, and they had about a 1:30 afternoon service. And some churches do that every week. I don't care what time we have services. One thing I don't want, though, is to cut our program anymore.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. No more cutting out any more services. We're just not going to do that. We've already cut the services as much as we're going to. Amen.
Amen.
We're thinking about going back to having church every day. So the preacher's taking it easy on you. You know what I'm saying? And so this week, actually, we're adding on a couple services. But it's good. And it's great to see this crowd tonight. I am so enthused about this crowd. Praise God. Now, how many of you have already invited somebody for tomorrow night? Right? I've invited two people myself. Wait just a minute. Wait a minute. I want to see that again. If you were invited to somebody for tomorrow night, raise your hands real high. Okay, we've got a few people. Good, good. We've all got to get involved in this. And tomorrow, let's do some of that. I was in West Virginia, and a preacher was really putting the pressure on. He had put the pressure on. And so there's a man in the church, he had never, ever texted. He didn't know how to text. He's only 60-something years old, but he had never texted. And so he got somebody after church to teach him how to text, and he texted six of his friends, six lost men. Brother Bud texted six lost friends of his. Six of his friends who had never gotten a text from Bud. Bud doesn't know how to text. What's Bud saying? Would you please come to church with me? Three of his six came.
Amen.
Wow. So let's send some text tonight, all right? Whatever it is, let's do what we can to get some folk here. Years ago, there's a preacher, J. Harold Smith. Man, sometimes he'd have 40 and 50 people saved in a meeting. So a friend of mine went to interview him and said, Brother Smith, how in the world do you have that many people saved in your meetings? He said, get your pencil out and we'll give you some notes. He said, to have 50 people saved in a meeting, here's what you got to do. Number one, you must have 50 lost people attend the meeting.
Right.
Makes sense, doesn't it? And so, yeah, we're going to have to reach out to some folks that are not saved if we're going to see folks saved in this meeting. Revival primarily, though, is for Christians. Do you know that? Revival is for Christians, and it's a Christian word. Earlier this year, there was a Hindu man who I was going to have some interviews with. He said, let's call it a revival. No, sir. Revival is exclusively a Christian word. It's not a Hindu word at all. And it's exclusively for Christians. Revive, revive, re, again, vive, life again. And so let's put our hearts in these meetings. Hey, when was the last time you put everything you had into a meeting? Let's make it this meeting right here. I'm going to do all I can. I'm sure you will too. Pastor, thank you with all of my heart. Are you ready? Oh, I didn't even talk about these lonely CDs. They spent all afternoon here. Yeah, somebody needs to take them home. And I got my star deputy right over here, Miss Ashley. You know, she got a 45 out there as she's going out. How many you want? I don't know about that. Bible Stories for Kids number 5 is the newest one for children. And we got a bunch for children. And then if you want some festive Christmas music at your house this Christmas, this is called Christmas Jubilee, and I've got about 20 of them back there. It's got guitar, mandolin, dobro. So, Brother Fox, what's a dobro? Well, get this CD and you'll find out what a dobro is. All right. Then a fiddle and banjo, got a little harmonica on it. There's no singing on this. This is just festive background Christmas music, and get something to give away to your friends. Now, banjo does not fit everything. You know, on Joy to the World, that banjo was good. Oh, Holy Night, we didn't let the banjo play at all. It doesn't work. God did it, coloring book. David, coloring book. Let's get into the Word of God now, please. Mark, chapter 3, verse 22. Right above verse 22 in my copy of the Bible, it says, the unpardonable sin. Brother Fox, is there an unpardonable sin? Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes. A man, a woman who dies in their sin, having rejected Christ as Savior, will go to hell forever. I don't relish that whatsoever. There is an unpardonable sin. And in verse 23, and he called unto them and said unto them in parables, Jesus said, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And then Jesus Christ, our beloved Savior, said in verse 25, our text verse, And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Got a little sermon for you tonight that I've entitled, Bracing Our Homes for Satan's Attacks. Bracing Our Homes for Satan's Attacks. You know, there's three divine institutions. The church is a divine institution. Praise God for the church. And then the government is a divine institution. Some of us in this room, I hope we're going to go vote tomorrow. Tomorrow, early voting continues. And the government is a divine institution. That's why when people fuss at me about being involved with the government, I remind them that God started government. And it's a divine institution, so it'd be inconceivable that Christians would not be involved at all. And so we do vote, and we get involved. So three divine institutions, the church, the government, and the home. The home is God made. And verse 25, Jesus said, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now, Satan is out attacking everything that God has established. Right. Everything. He attacks the Bible. He tries to pour doubt on the Bible. He attacks the church. And brother, he's attacking the homes today. Right. Attacking the families. And the American household, the American family, so many have been so disrupted. I got to a little town in West Virginia, Chesapeake, West Virginia. And I went over there to meet with the school principal, a little short lady, a Roman Catholic lady. And I asked her if we could have a Christmas party for all the children. And I said, we're going to feed all the children. We're going to give gifts to all the children. I'm going to play games with all the children. And then I'm going to take the Bible and read to them the Christmas story. On such and such Saturday, would you allow us to do that? And this little short lady said, are you telling me you'll feed all of our children? I said, yes, ma'am, we'll feed all of them. She said, what else do we need to do? I said, well, you got to have a parent or a guardian with each child that comes on this Saturday meeting. Every child must have a form filled out, and a parent or a guardian must come. And we'll do all those things for you. And she said, we've got to have this. Yes, we want this. Very poor, depressed area of West Virginia. I asked her during the course of the conversation, I said, ma'am, how many of your homes in this area, what you'd call broken homes, where dad has left and abandoned the family, or however you want to look at it, all the different disruptions? She said, oh, Brother Fox, more than 80% of the homes. She said, Brother Fox, I've got little fifth grade boys who make declarations like this. Got a little boy says, I never want to see my dad again. He's been so mean to our family. Oh, the homes in America. And only God can remedy the homes. Amen. All of us are sinners. All are sinners. And all of us need to get completely clean with God. And all of us need God's help with our homes. Amen. Amen. All of us. And so, by the way, we've got people debating in America what a family is. It's not that hard. Mom, dad, and the kids. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. So we're talking about bracing our homes and strengthening our homes. Well, got three little points for you, and then I got 15 applications, so we better get with it. Number one, every home needs a spiritual foundation. Just like your house has a foundation, every home needs a spiritual foundation. Now, look this way. Inside of our homes, look this way. Hey, inside of our homes, the Bible should not be questioned. Amen to that. No, the Bible is welcome inside of the Christian home. And the church is not considered outdated. No, the church is relevant today. Oh, the church is so relevant, so irrelevant. No. Church is very relevant right now. Church is essential. And the Bible, welcomed inside of the spiritual home. And the church is considered completely essential to the home. And dad says, hey, family, we're going back to church on Monday night for that revival meeting. And we're going back on Tuesday night. We're going to that revival meeting. Yes, because every home needs a spiritual foundation. And we fall and pray. We fall in prey to a lot of subtle deceptions. That, spiritual matters, they're over there for church, but they're not for our home. No. Our home is supposed to be a spiritual home. Amen to that. A real Christian home. And how would our family members describe us? Would Dad, would the family say, oh, one thing about Dad is he loves God? What would they say about Mama? But they say, oh, one thing about my mama, she tries to keep herself spotted from the world. Doesn't that sound good? It does to me. The children. Children, don't you love the Lord? Oh, the best time to start serving God when you're children. And the young people in this room. Praise God for the young people here tonight. If you're 13 and 19, stand up. Let's just see how many 13 and 19-year-olds we got in the room. Please stand up. Yeah. Figure out how old you are and stand up. Oh, my goodness, they're just kind of spread all over. Just remain standing. Oh, our pastor stood up. Yeah. I thought he was going to turn around and look. But he's young at heart, you know. Wow, look at it. We've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. We got 14 teenagers in the room. Let's give them a hand. God bless all of them. You may be seated. Oh, yeah. God bless each of you. Praise God for the teenagers. And some are just a little above. All right. 20 to 35 year olds. Let's just find out who the demographics are. 20 to 35. Stand, please. 20 to 35. 20 to 35. Yeah, 20 to 35 year olds. Yeah. Well, they're all backsliders. They're all in the back. Yeah. All right. You got a Regent shirt on. That's over there near me. You may be seen. All right. 36 to 55. 36 to 55. 36 to 55. I'm starting to hear people going, ooh, as they come up. It's going to get worse as we get higher. 36 to 55-year-olds. Yeah. All right, you may be seated. 56 and up. Let's just see this group. 56 and up. And let's give them a little time. Oh, my goodness. Let's give that group a hand, too. Praise God. Yes, the 56 and up crowd, they are in so many ways the backbone of our church. They really are. Oh, they may not be able physically to do what they used to. As far as knowing God and knowing God well, that's the group right there. And they know something about the Lord. They don't just know the Lord, they know the Lord well. And I'm glad we got a good group in that age group right there. All right, so a spiritual foundation, a spiritual foundation. And here's what we need. Colossians 1:18, He, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. In all things, that includes our homes. That in all things, He might have the preeminence. That's what we want inside of our homes. And so everything in our home needs to pass the glory test. Yes, sir, Brother Fox. We want everything to pass the glory test. Brother Fox, question, sir. What is the glory test? Oh, here it is. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If it cannot be done to the glory of God inside of our home, it doesn't need to be done. Look, we can do all kinds of things inside of our homes. All kinds of things. But it all needs to be done for the glory of God. And do not be deterred from what any other home in Powhatan and any place else in Virginia. Do not let anybody get you off course, mom and dad. Grandparents, don't let anything get you off course. You keep that spiritual foundation in your home. An old man said it this way. I like this old man. This old man said it this way. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But old man Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's called spiritual leadership. There's the patriarch of the family said, we're going to serve God. Amen to that. Number one, spiritual foundation. Number two, moral supports. Jesus said, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Got to have some supports. It's like the physical structure has to have some supports. That porch out there has those columns and got those studs and got those walls and got those 4x4s and the 8x8s and all. Oh yeah, gotta have some moral supports inside of the Christian home. Like what? Like having the right kind of music inside of the Christian home. There's a certain kind of music that does not need to be inside of our homes that we just reject. My dad got everything right with God. I was 14 years old, and my cousin came over. Kenneth came over. And he said to my dad, Kenneth was going in the army, and Kenneth said to my dad, I want to give Byron some of these records. Now you teenagers, a record with this vinyl thing, 12 inches, you play on a record player, you know. And he said, I want to give Byron some records. And my dad, who had gotten everything right with God, in my mind, I could see my dad sitting in that chair. And he said, Kenneth, let me hear them. He began to play them. And Kenneth said, "You know." My dad said, "Kenneth, you know." My dad says, "Kenneth, you know that we love you. But Kenneth, we can't take that music inside of our homes. Can't have that inside of our home. Can't have it. I'm sorry, Kenneth, can't take it." Man, that was my dad protecting our home from some music that we didn't need inside of our home. There are songs that blaspheme God. There are songs that talk about getting drunk. There are songs about having immoral activity. All of that needs to be rejected by the Christian home. Amen.
Amen.
Does that mean that we can't have any fun songs? "She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes." There's nothing wrong with that song. "Oh, Mrs. Shady, she is a lady." All them folk songs, a bunch of fun. "The Green Machine, the Green Machine. We're riding along in the Green Machine." All those are fun songs. Nothing wrong with that stuff. We don't sing them for our hymns at church because they're not hymns. But they're okay. They're fine. You know, "There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea." I'm not going to sing all that. It's too long. Yeah. That's fine. But let's have Christian music. And music that is appropriate for the Christian home. And then the right kind of entertainment, the right kind of movies. There's certain movies we say, nope, can't have that. There's things in that movie that we're not going to allow inside of this home. And the right kind of television entertainment. How about the educational system? Yes, we need to educate our children in things they need to be educated in. I went before the Board of Education in Virginia last December. And I got screamed at by a mob behind me, not by the school board, not the Department of Education of Virginia, but screamed at, that I wanted, they said that I wanted children to die. Why would you say that? I'm talking about obscene books that do not need to be in the school libraries in many, not all, but many of the public schools. That's what I'm up here talking about. They screamed at me that I had not read the books. That's true. I read 2 pages. It made me sick. As a 60-year-old man, I wish I'd never seen those 2 pages. That's how bad those 2 pages are. I don't have to read the whole book. I know that book should not be in any public school library. But they're screaming that I wanted children to die. What do you mean? Well, if the children don't get to read that, they'll probably go out and kill themselves. Isn't that ridiculous? That was the allegation against Brother Fox. No, I don't want children to kill themselves. But we are in charge of our children.
Amen.
Amen. And some people think that parents aren't in charge anymore. But you study this Bible right here. Parental authority. Amen to that. And daddies, you better stand up for your children. And so moral supports. And our families are to look like and act like and be Christian homes. And all this sinfulness of greed and dishonesty and immorality needs to be abandoned and leave that alone. And so we need some protection plans for our home. "Wherefore come out from among you them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So establish some boundaries that will not be crossed. My wife and I took in 4 troubled teenage girls into our home. My wife said, "We've got to do it. Their dad had gone to prison. Mom had abandoned them." My wife said, "We've got to take them in." I said, "Baby, do you understand that I can never be alone with those girls 1 second? You'll always have to be with me." I said, "I'll work hard to make the money for them, but it's going to fall on you, honey." She said, "I'm sure we're supposed to do it." So we took in 4 troubled teenage girls into our home. A home of 959 square feet. 1 bathroom. Me, now our son had already moved out at this point, but me and my wife, she's a lady, and our daughter, Rachel, she's a lady, and 4 more young ladies. Me and 6 ladies inside of 1 house with 1 bathroom. Woo! I'm getting up at 4 a.m. to get a shower so I can get some hot water, you know? And there's a bottle of everything known to man inside of there. You know, stuff I've never even heard of. Body polisher. I just tried. Yeah, I just poured something on and got out of there. You know what I'm saying? I'm a survival mode. I told the girls, these 4 girls, I said, "You're going to live on our standards." One day, Liz came out in a miniskirt in the bedroom. I said, "Liz, come in here." I said, "Liz, you know me and Miss Fox has told you how to dress and how not to dress. And many skirts are not allowed in this house. Not allowed outside of this house. And it's not allowed. Because there's three places in the Word of God where it indicates that the thigh is nakedness. Okay? I've got Bible for this. And so I said, Liz, you just can't do that. I said, in fact, I said this. I said, Liz, me and Muhammad Ali agree on something. She said, you do? I said, yeah. Muhammad Ali said, the gold was deep in the ground. It was precious. It was covered up. He said, ladies, you're precious, cover up. I said, Muhammad Ali was right. Liz, you're precious. You got to cover up. And I got out of there. How many of you recognize that was a very awkward situation for Brother Fox to try to, yeah, that's very awkward. I am leaving. I got in my car, took my phone, got in the car. And Renee called me and said, Byron, Liz is in here bawling her eyes out. I said, honey, I can't change the Bible. She said, no, she's in here bawling her eyes out saying, you and Brother Fox think I'm precious. Our girls are precious. Amen.
That's right.
And so there are some standards that we hold to. If we've got Bible for it, we stick to it. Amen to that. Amen. And Dad, the buck stops with you. You are to be the leader and draw up whatever the boundaries that God has led you to. And if you got Bible for it, stay with it. Amen to that.
Amen.
We're not trying to have a popularity contest. We're trying to be pleasing to God. And it costs a little bit. Getting saved is free, but being a disciple of Christ will cost you a little bit. But it's going to be worth it when we meet him face to face. Never trust the flesh. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. All right. Number three, a biblical blueprint. Every home. Jesus is talking about the house here. Verse 25. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We need a biblical blueprint for our home. So that means one man and one woman equals a marriage. And dad should be the leader of the home. So the Bible, dad is to lead the home. If there is a dad who's alive and in the home, he is to lead that home. There are some widows. I understand all that. But if there's a dad alive, he is to be leading. He's to provide for his household. Any able-bodied man who refuses to work is a bum. Amen to that. The Bible teaches a work ethic. Now look, the Bible does not command that I help people who won't work. The Bible teaches I'm to help those who can't work. And those who can't work are in a different category. I understand all that. But Dad, you're supposed to work. God blesses work. Now, what about Mom? Mom ought to be respected by everybody. Everyone in the household needs to respect Mama and love Mama. Now, the Bible says it this way in Ephesians. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, gentlemen, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So, 15 tips now. Are you ready? Buckle up. I'm going to take about 1 minute on each. 15 tips that will absolutely improve your home. Number one, attend church together as a family. Attend church together. Mom, dad, and the kids. And I know that's a little challenging. So on Saturday night, Mom, you just lay out the clothes for a little six-year-old boy the next morning. And when he gets up, you say, that's the clothes you're going to wear. But I want to wear, no, you're going to wear those, okay? And you know, you got to find two shoes that match. I have been to church with a brown shoe and a black shoe on. And the pastor where I was really made fun and made sure that everybody in the whole church noticed I put on two different shoes. And I told all of them that I had a pair at home just like them. It happens. And if you're not careful, you're trying to find them two shoes that match and you get late. No, no. Do all you can to attend church together. Amen. Yes, the whole family coming. It's a wonderful thing. Number two, read the Bible and pray together inside of the home. Have Mama read some Bible. Have dad read some Bible. Have the children read a little Bible. Have some Bible inside of your home. The American Bible Society has been doing a survey of American homes about reading the Bible. And 2022, they've been doing it more than 100 years. If you're listening, say amen. More than 100 years they've been doing this survey. Last year was the lowest amount of Bible reading inside of our homes that we've ever had in America. I'm talking about Christian homes. Oh, how many of you believe it's a good idea to read the Bible some inside of the home? Oh, yeah. Amen to that. And so let's do that this week. Let's do it tonight. You get home and somebody get the Bible out and read a few verses and then pray together. Oh, yeah. So number one, attend church together. Number two, read the Bible and pray together. Number three, find times and ways to serve the Lord together. When Pastor has a big soul winning outreach that we're all going to go knock doors, then as a whole family, get involved. And all of you get find that time to work together. If you all can be in the choir, the whole family get inside of the choir. Whatever, however you can find to serve God together, let's do that. All right? Now, number four, five, and six are about the husband and wife relationship. I've been married 40 years. And Ephesians 5:24 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, call to action, practical tip number four, husband and wives, work at keeping the communication flowing. Keep talking. And gentlemen, keep listening. Wives want their husbands to listen. I know my wife, how many of you men know your wife wants you to listen? Yeah, she wants me to listen to her. You know, sometimes she'll say, now what did I say to you? Well, maybe I didn't memorize it, but I'm kind of giving an overall synopsis. And she wants to talk. And men and women are wired differently. I know all that. And ladies, overall, use more words than men do. And ladies, understand that men are not men of a lot of talk, usually. Hey, baby, how was work today? Fine. Just fine. Don't you have anything else? I'd ask our little daughter, Rachel, when she'd come home from school. I'd ask Micah. Micah, how was school? Fine. Rachel, how was school? Well, we started at 7:30. Oh, she'd give me the whole synopsis of the day. And I'd sit and listen to Rachel. And we'd look through catalogs and talk. Because as I'd get her talking about things inside that catalog, she and I just talk about things. And talking with your family. My kids to this day love me to sit around and tell stories. Anytime we have 12 parties a year, our family does. Have a party every month. And so often they're like, Dad, tell us some stories when you was a kid. Talk to us, Dad. And me listening to their triumphs and their losses. And same with my, look, talk, keep the communication flowing. Number five, ooh, got to move along here. Number five, have a date. Have a date. Husbands and wives have a date. I took Renee out to eat the other day. And then we went shopping until the stores closed. Did you buy much? Not really. But we shopped and she looked and she touched and all that stuff. Just had a good time. Just had a good time. Have a date. Number six, never yell inside of the home. Don't do that. The children do not need to hear Dad scream at Mama. No, do not do that. Do not raise your voice. And I'll just tell you, me and my wife haven't been fighting much at all lately. We're just too tired to fight anymore. I'll tell you what else has helped us. She had that COVID so bad. She's had that COVID fog so much that last time she raised her voice to me, she said, now I'm going to tell you something. And she never has thought what it was she's going to tell me. And we both just burst out with laughter. Yeah, Renee and I have a good time laughing together and so forth. So don't be yelling, unless there's a fire inside of the house. If there's a fire, scream, okay? Get everybody out. But no, don't yell at him. Ma'am, please don't do that. Children don't hear Mama yelling at Dad. Dad, don't do that. The Bible teaches maintaining self-control. One man said, well, if it comes up in me, it just comes out of me. Stop that. Get some self-control about you. And don't behave that way. All right, what about the finances? Inside the home, so many homes. Oh, my. Yeah, well, we make $200,000 a year. Yeah, but you're spending $300,000 a year. Live within your means. In fact, you ought to live on about 70% of what your income is and give 10 to 15% in the Lord's work and then save 10 or 15%. That's what you need to be doing. Every man needs to learn how to earn money. Every man needs to learn how to save money. And every man needs to learn how to give money. And so finances. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which have these ants, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Yeah, the finances. So number seven, action step number seven, be faithful stewards of all of God's blessings. You know, God has blessed us in America. The free enterprise system. Hey, look this way. The best financial book in the entire world is this book right here. The best way to run a government. Listen, the Bible talks about capital gain taxes. The Bible talks about minimum wage. All these things are found in the Bible. And so many of the things. Progressive tax is anti-Bible. More you make, more we're going to take. That's wrong. That's anti-Bible. We need some people in leadership that understand these concepts from the Bible. One reason that our country has flourished is because we follow the Bible. And now we're breaking some principles of the Bible and we're going the wrong direction. Have you noticed? Even financially in our country. And so be faithful stewards of God's blessings. One man who's in a lot of financial trouble, I told him, I said, you need to budget every dollar. Do you know that 95% of American households 95% of American households do not have a monthly budget. You're asking for problems by not having a monthly budget. And so be faithful stewards of God's blessings. Number eight. Oh, talking about budget here. It's down here. Get on a budget that includes a savings account. Every man and woman needs to work on saving and investing. Well, I just don't know anything about investing whatsoever, and so I just don't do any of it. You're going to be in trouble. How many times in the Bible does the word retirement appear? Does somebody know the number? How many times in the Bible the word retirement appears?
Zero.
Zero? Are you kidding? That's correct. Zero is correct. But have you noticed that if you get older, you can't work as much? My dad's 88. He can barely stand up. He could not hold a job at this point. But my average dad, he's very average in many ways. But he's extraordinary in other ways. My dad all life long was a hardworking man. Once he got everything right with God, he tithed, he gave offerings, and he made sure he saved and he stored up and he got in the thrift program at his work and they matched. And if your company matches, you make sure you take that match. And all that. And now my dad, he had to retire at age 62 because of a physical issue. And from 62 now to 88, he's lived on what he had saved and drawn his Social Security and so forth. He's had little tiny jobs along the way where that he could physically do to help provide along the way. Look, be faithful stewards and get on a budget that includes a savings account. I got to move. Number nine, save so you can take a family vacation. Anybody like vacations? I do. Yeah, I like vacations. And my wife and I have been our 40th year. We planned three vacations this year. All of them just 3 or 4 days long, and not extended periods. But we enjoyed them. And get just a few miles away from home and eat some hot dogs together, play Rook, and just have a good time together. Watch Family Feud on YouTube, and not just fun stuff. That's what we like to do. And see if you can guess what the answers are or whatever. And family vacation. Don't put all your family vacation on a credit card and say, I hope it works out and we can pay for it sometime. Do not do that. Save for your family vacation. Now, number 10, 11, and 12 are some potholes in life's road. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So number 10. Resolve differences quickly. Inside the home, do not allow bitterness to get inside of the home. forgive all those things and add resolve, differences, and respect each other's opinion. Now, Dad has got to be the leader. Mom, you may not agree with every nuance that he has, but when it comes to it, down to it, if there has to be a spiritual decision made, he has got to make it. And unless you've got Bible to convince him otherwise, sometimes you just have to go along and say, well, I don't understand all of it, but I'll go along with that. This is the way it works. And sir, please do not be a tyrant inside of your home. I'm just a dictator inside. Well, that's not exactly the way you ought to lovingly lead your household. And so resolve differences quickly and respect each other's opinion. Number 11, forget what has been forgiven. Don't just keep bringing it up. You remember 43 years ago when we got married? That first breakfast you made, you burnt my toast. In fact, I think you burnt my toast every day of our lives. Stop that. No, don't do that. And even gross issues. Ma'am, forgive him. Sir, forgive her. When she's repented, when she's asked forgiveness. I'm glad that God forgives. Aren't y'all glad of that?
Yes.
Do y'all believe in redemption?
Yes.
I do. And so inside of the home, forget what has been forgiven. Number 12, when you get in trouble, get some godly counsel. When your home gets in trouble, you know, our millennials and our even 40-year-olds and so forth, when you have real trouble inside of your home, go to a Christian who knows the Lord well. Go to your pastor. Go to your deacon. Go to someone who can give you some godly advice. When you're in trouble, get some godly advice. Now, number 13, 14, and 15. Involve the kids. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
I'm giving you a lot of information fast. The kids. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Number 13. Do not let the kids play one against the other. I told our children early on, son, if you go to your mom and she says no, and then you come to me without telling me that I went to mama first, and she said no. If you come to me and try to get me to say a different answer than your mama has already given you, if I find that out, you are in big trouble. This playing one parent against the other, I'm not for that whatsoever. That's led to a lot of strife. These are practical tips based on some principles that I've learned along the way. And so do not let kids play one parent against the other. Number 14. All right. Our pianist, our organist, this number 14 is another opinion. Give every child some piano lessons. I think all the children ought to have some piano lessons. That's just an opinion. As I travel the country so often, I am the pianist because there is no pianist inside so many of our churches. Aren't y'all glad we got some good musicians?
Amen.
Praise God for them.
Amen.
And we're going to have some for the next generation and the next generation. By the way, didn't you enjoy the special music tonight?
Amen.
I certainly did. And good music really helps set the table for the service. And so I think some children ought to have some piano lessons. Now, number 15, last one. I put this down. Let children participate in sports and all sorts of activities. Are you listening? As long as they do not have to miss church to do so. I am sick of all these ball games on Sundays. I'm sick of it. When they have to miss church. Now, I'm going to testify for a moment. When I was a boy, we were broke. I didn't know we were broke. Everybody I knew was broke. I thought everybody was broke. I had a hand-me-down. I was number six. So everything was hand-me-down. By the way, I wasn't the last one. There's another hand-me-down. That bicycle. Yeah, yeah. We don't know where the seat is. Well, you don't need a seat. Fire, you don't need a seat. Yeah. Nobody knew where the seats were. Training wheels? You know, you're too big a boy to have training wheels. Nobody knows what training wheels are. You kidding? And, you know, everything hand-me-down. And it's fine. I don't know how. I have no idea how. But somehow, I got to play Little League baseball one year. We never had the money for that. Somehow, I don't know, somebody sponsored me. I don't know, some family member, some community member. Somehow, I got to play baseball on a Little League team 1 year. Whew, I had a good time out there. I had a great time. And you know something? Not one time. I know it's more than 50 years ago, but not one time do we have a ball game on Sunday. Not once. In fact, we didn't have any practices on Wednesday. You know why? Both of my coaches were Christians, and they wanted our ball team in church on Sunday. In fact, before the games, we'd come together and have prayer together. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine it, and I want it again. I want our community back to God. And I don't want any more of these ball games on Sunday. I don't even like time change on Sunday. Well, we can't disrupt work on Monday. Move it to Monday. That'd be fine with me. Quit disrupting God's house. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we need to have some more respect for the things of God, don't we? Amen. Would you stand with me? Let me ask you. Everybody stand, please. How's your home doing? Our church is not going to be any stronger than the Christian homes in here. Daddy, you look this way. Daddy, you're to lead the way. Granddad, you don't understand how much your influence is. I was preaching out in Kentucky, and my father-in-law was there, and my family. My father-in-law at this point was probably about 70 years old. And me and another man preached our hearts out that night. My father-in-law weighed 340 pounds, 6'3" or 6'4" tall, big man. And I can still, in my mind, at 70 years old, seeing him walk down the aisle and stand here and make commitments to God. You mean dad and granddad and even at that point, great-granddad? Oh, yeah. I've thought about it so many times, about how in front of everybody he came and got everything right. The day my dad got everything right with the Lord, I never saw this ever before. But my preacher called my dad out by name at invitation. Mr. Fox, don't you want to get right with God today? He called my dad out by name. And my dad said, yes, I do. Boy, I'll tell you what, things changed inside of our homes at that point. Inside of our home changed. I went over to Ravenswood, West Virginia. Oh, I started preaching there 25 years ago or so. There was a telephone repairman named Mitch. 25 to 30 years ago. And Mitch, big fella. Mitch came down the aisle and made some commitments about his home. Mitch that afternoon went back to his house and they had Sunday lunch. And Mitch said, kids, mama, things are changing around this household. He said, we're going back to church tonight. I've got everything right with God. I've failed my family. I've failed my Lord. And things will be different. And I'll tell you what, old Mitch made things different at that household. Now here it is 25 to 30 years later. Back in July, I'm preaching down there in Texas. And the young pastor down there, who is he? That's Mitch's boy. And Adam, his son, said, oh, I remember that day that Dad came home and said, our home's changing. 3 months ago, I was at another church. And the youth man, Grant said, yeah, I remember that day that Dad came home as Mitch. See, both of his sons now in the ministry. I wonder how much of that would have happened if Dad hadn't made some big things right with God and had changed his household. Do we want our Christian homes to be really Christian? Amen? That means we might need to get rid of some things tonight. Alcoholic beverage has no place in there. Certain kinds of entertainment, certain kinds of literature, certain kinds of music have no place there. Would you bow your heads? I want our musicians to find I Surrender All. And the invitation is open for the men who want to come and pray about anything. And men, you can start making your way right now. All the men that might want to come and just talk to God about some things, I want you to come right now. Come on, men. All the men that want to. Some music gets started here in a little bit.